When I announce that, you probably think I'm going to speak on the virtuous woman, and you are wrong. I want to speak on the verses preceding that, in verses 1 through 9. And the title of my message is Lemuel's Mother. Lemuel's Mother. Look at your Bibles there, or share one with someone near you. Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. The prophecy that his mother taught him. There was a king named Lemuel. We don't know what his mother's name is, so we'll just call her today Lemuel's mother. She's one of the minor characters of the Bible. I hope you love the Bible today. The Bible is full of people, not just doctrine and practice and history and prophecy, but it's full of people, full of men, full of women, boys, girls, young, old, major characters like David, who's mentioned almost 1,000 times in the Bible, minor characters just mentioned once, like Lemuel's mother. But what a mother she was. We're going to study a little bit about Lemuel's mother this morning in verses 1 through 9, an amazing, amazing mother. In fact, she kind of sets an ideal for all moms and all grandmas. And some of you moms and grandmas, as I go through this, you're going to perhaps see that maybe some areas you failed or something or haven't quite lived up to what Lemuel's mother was. But don't be discouraged. We come to church to get better. We come to church to learn better how to do what God wants us to do. And God loves you, mothers. God wants to work with you, mothers. It says we're laborers together with God. He wants to work with you, moms. You girls that are going to be mothers someday, listen up. And let's learn about Lemuel's mother today and see some wonderful things that she did. Notice number one in verse one. I don't have all these pointed out, but notice she taught her son. She taught her son. Somebody's going to teach your son. Do you know that? You don't want it to be the world. The devil's going to be sure he tries to fill your son with his doctrine. It's everywhere in the world. You can't hide from it. The old flesh is going to try to teach him some things. Someone's going to teach your son. A wise mother will make sure she's first. As she guides the house, as we're told over in 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse 14, she's supposed to guide the house. Moms, you be sure you're the one that teaches your sons. In verses 3 through 9, Lemuel recites what his mother taught him. He's a king now. He's an older man, and yet he remembers in verses 3 through 9 what his mother taught him when he was a little boy. That's pretty powerful stuff. That's influence. Mothers have profound influence on their sons and on their daughters. Mothers, be sure you're a teacher. Be sure you're a teaching mom. Teach your sons. Notice on the front of the bulletin, or just look over at verse number 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. She knows what she's talking about. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Notice, if you will, in verse 26, she knows what to say and she knows how to say it. You can tell your children the truth but not be kind about it. That don't fly. Usually doesn't work. Ladies, you got to watch your spirit. You got to watch your temperament. We just heard the ladies sing, a mother's gentle love. Man, is there anything more powerful than a mother's gentle love? I want to encourage you to be gentle with your children and bring them up delicately, the Bible says. Lead them on softly, the Bible says. Now, sometimes you have to discipline. That's part of the scriptures, too. But a mother ought to have a gentle love. And if you can combine verse 26, a gentle love, the law of kindness, and a mouthful of wisdom, you're going to have a profound influence so that your boy, your girl, when he's a man or a woman, will remember what you said in their childhood, like Lemuel's mother did here in verse 1. Notice she had a threefold bond to her son in verse 2. It says, "What my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows." Notice also about Lemuel's mother, she's such a great mother, a teaching mother, verse 1. But notice she had a threefold bond to her son. First of all, it was domestic. What my son? It's a term of endearment. She had a domestic bond. She couldn't wait. You know, she wasn't one of those that says, "I can't wait till these kids get out of the house. You know, or why don't you go do this or go get out of my hair." Boy, man, it was my son. Term of endearment. What my son? And then it was also a physical bond. And what the son of my womb, the Bible says in Genesis 3 that women are going to have complications and it's going to be an extremely difficult thing to bring a child into the world. That's what the Bible says. And yet that experience is supposed to bond that mother to her son, to her daughter. All the 9 months, the labor, the pain that goes through it, and so on and so forth. Jesus picked up on that once and said, after it's all over, then she has joy. That she suffered so much that a man child has been born into her house. Gives her joy. God's pretty smart, you know. And he often uses suffering to bring about a greater attachment. You know, if we have to suffer building a church, we end up loving the church more. If you have to suffer and work and by the sweat of your brow to build your house, you end up appreciating your house and your possessions more. And when we suffer to bring children into the world, we end up appreciating them more. But notice also there's a third element to her bond with her son, and that was a spiritual one. And what the son of my vows. She had a spiritual attachment to her children. Not just domestic. And that's good if a mother can maintain a good relationship with her son. Not just a physical one where she brought him into the world. She's the biological mother. But there's a spiritual element here. What the son of my vows. See, God was in on her mothering. God was in. She wanted to have children for the sake of God. This reminds me of Hannah, the famous story of Samuel's mother in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She couldn't have any children. She was barren. And so she began to pray. She prayed so fervently one time with her lips moving. No words were coming out. The priest watching her thought she was drunk. She prayed so fervently that God would give her a son. But she made that a son of her vows, and she said, "Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you as long as he lives. He'll belong to thee." In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 27, she had a son, and she said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he, Samuel, worshipped the Lord. See, it was the son of her vows. You know, we need some mothers who will have children, and even before they have children, they'll just make a determination that there's going to be a spiritual element to her relationship to her son and to her daughter. And she'll say, "The world is not getting my kids. The devil's not getting my kids. My kids are going to belong to the Lord." Boy, we need some moms like Lemuel's mom. The son of my vows. And then she taught. We saw in verse 1, she taught Lemuel. In verses 3 through 9, we read a little discourse that he writes about what his mother taught him. And you know what they are? They're do's and don'ts. Good moms teach do's and don'ts. You know what Christianity is? Christianity is a bunch of do's and don'ts. A bunch of laws. About 613 in the Old Testament, over 200 in the New Testament. A bunch of laws. And they are given to us for many reasons, but one is to show our love. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Study my commandments and obey them. Now, we don't do that to justify ourselves. None of us can justify ourselves. When we stand before the judge of all flesh, we better be sure we have a Savior, because he's the only one that can justify you from all things and from sin. We don't try to keep the law to justify ourselves. But we try to keep the law because we love the Lord. And we understand the law is God's guardrails. Righteousness, morals are God's guardrails that help keep us from making a wreck out of our lives. Have you ever seen somebody disobey God's laws of righteousness and end up making a wreck out of their lives? You don't have to look far to find people like that. You really don't. Laws are good things. Morals are good things. Righteousness is a good thing. I've done a lot of funerals in my life. Another one last night, a big funeral last night. But I have buried people much younger than myself who contracted diseases from behavior that was disobedient to the law of God. And if somebody had reached them and presented Christ to them and given them a Bible, perhaps they could have read the laws of God and avoided that. Laws are good. Christianity is a bunch of do's and don'ts. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. But you got to have both. We can't just say to our kids, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. We can't just say no, 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 no. There has to be a whole lot of things we say yes, 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 yes. Has to be. Lemuel's mother was such a mother. Lemuel begins to recite two don'ts that his mother taught him. In verse number 3, he says this, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. There's usually just a few things that destroy men. It's usually one is women and another is money. Now, she's not saying all women are bad here. She's just cautioning Lemuel that there's certain types of women that he does not want to get involved with. As you read the book of Proverbs, it's a great book to read, especially you young people. When my wife and I were first married, we were 22 and 21. And the first 6 years of our married life, we read the book of Proverbs every month. We read it out loud at the kitchen table 72 times out loud. So much in it, especially for young people. You girls, you boys, you say, what should I read in the Bible? Read Proverbs. Over and over again. In the book of Proverbs, there is a description of 12 different types of women. Some of them are really bad and should be avoided. And God gives the young man instructions in the book of Proverbs to avoid those types of women. Some of them are really good. Real blessed women, like Lemuel's mother and the virtuous woman that the rest of the chapter is about. And she's trying to warn him about certain types of women. He says, give not thy strength unto women. Go back to chapter 6, Proverbs chapter number 6, for instance, in verse number 26. Proverbs chapter 6, in verse number 26, it says this, for by means of a whorish woman, there's one of the 12, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Well, there's a type of woman to avoid. It talks about the whore in the book of Proverbs. This isn't a whore. This is a whorish woman. She's not a whore. She's just whorish in her attitude. And she hunts for the precious life. It's not just men who are sometimes predators that women need to watch out for. Men, you need to understand there's women also that are predators. They're whorish women. They hunt for the precious life. And Lemuel's mother, when he was a little boy, taught him this. I'm sure it saved him a lot of problems. And then she goes on, and he remembers that, and by the way, it says, give not thy strength unto women. Men, what are we supposed to give our strength to? What's the great commandment? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Give your strength to God. Especially those that are in their youth, especially you boys, especially you unmarried men, give your strength to God. Give your strength to God. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17. I remember being in the army. I've seen guys take their paychecks the day they got them, and they ran down to town to have some drinks while the rest of us stayed on the base. And they came back broke. And we only got paid once every 30 days. You know what they spent their money on? Women. Don't give your strength to women. And notice, second of all, she said, don't drink wine or liquor. That's pretty good mothering right there. Did you know abstaining from alcohol has never hurt anybody? It has never hurt anybody to abstain from alcohol all their lives. Wine or strong drink. Liquor. Verse number 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. We are children of the King, Jesus Christ. King of kings, the Lord of lords. We are royalty. We ought to live like royalty. It won't hurt you to never touch a drop of liquor in your life. Never touch a drop of wine in your life. But I want you to notice in her teaching techniques here, mothers, for you to take home, she not only tells him why, but what, but also why. In the next verse, she says this. She says, lest they drink, verse 5, and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. I want you to notice here in verse number 5 that one of the products of drinking alcohol is lawlessness. Lawlessness. I have been witnessing to a man for years, and I've tried to get him to know Christ as his Savior, but he doesn't want to receive Christ as his Savior. Because he's angry at God. He's bitter at God. Reason being, and I think I've told this story before, he was driving down the road one day with his little son next to him, 6-year-old boy, and a drunk driver came across the highway, crossed the double yellow lines, and hit him head on. He was able to crawl out of the wreck. He was able to get his son out of the wreck, but a few minutes later, his son died in his arms. You could blame God for that ever since. And I've said to him, dear friend, God wrote a book for all the human race to pay attention to. And in this book, he told us, don't drink liquor. Don't drink wine. And in this book, he's told us, be a good citizen. Obey all the laws of your country. If the law says you're drunk, if you're drunk, do not get in a vehicle and drive it. Then if you're drunk, do not get in a vehicle and drive it. I said, if that man would have listened to God, if he'd have known Christ, if somebody would have put a Bible in his hand, he wouldn't have been out there drinking. God wanted to stop this from happening, not make it happen. It's not God's fault. It's our society's fault for throwing the Bible out. we lived by God's laws, we wouldn't have all this lawlessness that liquor's producing and strong drink's producing. And every one of us who are believers in Christ should abstain from wine and abstain from liquor, lest somebody see us even with a social drink and think that it's okay to drink. We don't want that on our record. You see Pastor Cole drink a beer, what are you going to say? I guess drinking's okay. And that may embolden someone to get drunk and hurt somebody. 17,000 Americans die just in drunk driving accidents every year. I want no association with that at all. This is a Mother's Day message. I better get back to this here. Get a hold of myself. It'll twist up your mind. It'll pervert judgment of any of the afflicted. What's strong drink for? What were some uses for it? Verse 6, give strong drink unto them that are ready to perish, and wine unto them that are of heavy hearts. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember his misery no more. Back then, they would use strong drink to those that were ready to perish, perhaps like somebody today in a class 4 cancer, leukemia, or something like that. Like we would give them morphine today. They're ready to perish. You try to make them as comfortable as you can at that stage in their life. Everybody understands that. And those that are completely despondent, you know, this thing about complete despondency here in verse number 6, the heavy hearts, you know what they didn't have when this was written? They didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. Amen? When we're saved, we get God, the blessed Holy Ghost, to live inside of us. And you know something? His name is Comforter. And we don't need liquor if we get despondent. I'm not trying to make light. That poor lady last night, don't know if she heard a word I said, honestly. The wife of this poor man that died, 42 years of age, he died of a heart attack, and she was just so despondent. I'm just praying for her. What a hard thing she's going through. I'm not trying to make light of people's misery. But when we know Christ, and when we've got the Holy Ghost inside of us, we don't need liquor. We don't need liquor. He can help us. He's all powerful. Now she tells him, don't do these things. Now she says, here's some things you should do. Let's close with these here, a couple things. Do's. We can't just tell our kids' moms, no, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. They just, after a while, there's a spirit inside of every boy or girl that's longing to be free, longing to know, what then can I do? What can I do? And this is where we need to be involved. And we need to, as parents, make up things for them to do. Give them good things to do. Say yes to some things. Notice, first of all, it says this, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Son, here's something you can do. Open your mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. There's something you can do, son. Do you know who's appointed to destruction? Every lost person on earth. One of the best things you'll ever do for your sons or daughters is teach them how to be a personal soul winner. How to open their mouth for the cause of the dumb. And the word dumb here just means they're ignorant. Nobody's ever told them. Open your mouth, son, for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Man, I'll tell you what, if you get yourself a son or a daughter and you train them how to win souls to Christ, they're going to do something that's eternal. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "They that be wise shall shine as the stars of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." I didn't quote that right. But it says that the ones that are going to shine in heaven are going to be the ones who on earth have turned many people to righteousness. How would you like to have that for your sons? We've got a lot of distractions today. Sons and daughters. Wouldn't that be something if they, your sons and daughters, did that which was eternal with their short, brief little life and led some people to Christ? I hope your sons and daughters are saved, because they're going to stand before the judge of all flesh someday and they need a Savior. That's our first concern. Make sure your own kids are saved. Don't say, well, they'll hear it from the preacher, they'll hear it in Sunday school, they'll hear it in junior church, they'll hear it on the bus or what. No, no, no. You make sure. You ask them. You ask them. And you try to lead them to Christ. Open your mouth. Open your mouth, son. People are appointed to destruction. God says in His Word that the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, Galatians 3 and verse 22. And Jesus said twice in Luke 13, nay, He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We're appointed to destruction. We need to open our mouth when you're out soul winning, whatever you're doing. Last night we had a big, huge funeral. You know what I did? I just preached the gospel. So I just magnified Christ, lifted Him up. A fellow come up to me afterwards, 21 years of age. He's in police academy, studying to be a policeman. He said to me afterwards, he said, boy, that prayer that you prayed at the end here, he says, that really touched my heart. That really did something for me. I said, did you ask Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? He said, yes, I did. Yes, I did. I believe others there were saved. We've got to open our mouths. Dad and I in the nursing home had a dear lady come in Thursday. And one of the nurses from Vietnam. Been in America 17 years. Was brought up Buddhist. Came to America. Had to become a Catholic to marry her husband. She asked us, what's the difference between Catholic and Christian? Wow, all right. So we got to talk to her. Her heart's not open yet, but boy, she was just, she said to us, she said, I always thought it was something in the heart and not just rituals you do on Sunday. Man, she's close to the kingdom of God. Amen, hallelujah. People are everywhere. People are everywhere. Yesterday out on visitation, got to talk to a couple at their home in the backyard. Went through the whole gospel with them. Praise the Lord. Open your mouth, son. Here's something you can do, son. Here's something that's eternal, son. You can make a lot of money, son, but you're going to leave it all behind someday. You can have a great career, son. You can rise the corporate ladder and become successful. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with all those things. And son, the whole world can pat you on the back and tell you that you're a success. But someday, you're going to leave all that back here on earth. But what you did for Christ is going to last. And then the last thing she said was this, or that he remembered her saying was this, verse 9, open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Son, be a servant. Be a servant. Son, you're a king, but you better get down to where the poor and needy are. You better not get the big head and think you're something now that you're a king. Son, you need to be a servant. We're told over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, it says, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. It doesn't matter what anyone in this room ever becomes. None of us are too good than to get down and to help the poor and needy. He said, I remembered Mom taught me that. Help me to find somebody that I can help. Some poor person, some needy person, and no matter what I ever become, no matter how smart I ever get, no matter how many degrees I ever earn, son, you be a servant. You spend the rest of your life trying to help people. Pretty good mom. I'd say, pretty good mom. Let's raise sons who will help others. Let's raise sons and daughters who will live for others. Let's raise children who will be concerned for the lost. Don'ts and do's. That's good mothering. I hope as we looked at Lemuel's mother today that the Holy Spirit would help you. I know I got off on a couple tangents, but moms, teach your kids. Follow this dear lady's example where you speak with wisdom but also in the law of kindness. Make sure what you're saying is right, but make sure you have a right spirit about it when you're saying it. Be specific. Don't give your strength to women. There's some bad women out there, kids, boys, girls, some real bad guys in your town, real bad. Don't give your strength to them. Don't give your strength to them. Stay away from liquor. Why do you want to have fun when you can have joy? Why settle for fun when you can have joy? Oh, we're going to go out and get bombed. I used to do that before God changed my life. Got bombed already. You got a headache. You poisoned every brain cell in your head, and you never get your brain cells back. God changed me. Don't drink liquor, son. But here's some things you can do. Get involved in the God's work. Get involved in the gospel. Learn how to win some souls to Christ. They're appointed to destruction. People all around you, someone's got to tell them. And everywhere you go in your church, in your neighborhood, your community, there's poor, needy people. Find a way to help them. Help a widow. Mow her lawn. Weed her flower garden. Take some daffodils to her or something. But son, don't you ever get so big you think you're better than others. You can't get down where you help others. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, bless our invitation now. We pray for any that might be lost and not know Christ as their Savior, that very gently they may be urged this hour to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We pray for mothers to lift this example, these 9 verses from this precious mother, into their mothering skills, or maybe they're a grandma now, and little granddaughters and grandsons come over, and they can have those few moments where they teach them things, do's and don'ts, and they give good reasons why, and they make sense out of things to their kids or their grandkids, and they prepare them to avoid the pitfalls and traps and snares of life and to walk the straight and narrow way and walk in the joy of the Lord. And Lord, help the mothers to not only say the right things, but to say it with kindness and to have that gentle love. And Lord, I pray for moms who are hurting in this room, whose children are wayward today. Sons and daughters maybe have already gone off the way, that they'd pray for their boys and girls and remember there is an almighty God who can do anything and bring their children back. So just bless our invitation as we close today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.